One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back. There, we are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson, and I am the stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast.
All
and
true.
Alongside me is a one Stephen English, co-host, producer of this podcast, and also he's a little stand-up comedian himself.
And a cool dad, bro.
And a cool dad. Yeah. He recently shaved his head because he wants to relate to his child, Buck, more. He wants to grow hair on his head simultaneously. He
no, Bach has that a full head of hair.
I refuse to see your child.
That's right. It was weird. You came over and you like closed your eyes. Weirdly, you walked past him every single time you closed your eyes.
I had a veil. I came with a veil expecting like I will not look at this
child. You look like a Civil War widow.
Because I feel like if I were to see your child, then I would be like, oh gosh, I should pay Stephen more. And
well, he's very fat, so he'd probably be like, no, I think he's good.
That kid is well fed.
He's not starving yet.
No. He's getting it out of the can and out of the body.
Yep.
All right. We're keeping it clean here on this funny podcast about family. So thank you for tuning in. Backseaters, welcome. Welcome back. We have a great episode for you today. Today, we are with stand-up comedian and actress Carrie Pomeroli.
Oh.
I thought it was Pomeroli forever.
Yeah.
And she said, no, it's a Pomeroli.
Pomeroli.
A Pomeroli.
Yeah. It sounds delicious.
It sounds so good.
It sounds delicious.
I don't... if you went and got like a chicken Pomeroli.
Right.
It sounds so good.
Yeah, but it's still sweet. It sounds like you'd still be chicken, but it still has a lot of sugar in it, you know? It's like chicken with heavy cream.
I don't know if that's like is it classy or is that like, or does a little bit sound like an Olive Garden commercial? A Pomeroli.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Olive Garden is like the Taco Bell of Italian food.
It really is. Yeah. Yeah. There was Cucina for a while. Do you remember Cucina?
Oh,
popped up and it went away.
Yeah.
And Olive Garden's like, no.
Well, they were still around.
We are the trash Italian food. But you know what? It's pretty good. It's fine.
I've only had it one time in my life.
Yeah, but was it good? Was it memorable?
I don't remember. I was drunk, so I don't know.
Okay. I understand.
You
know how you just drunkenly stumble into an Olive Garden on a Tuesday night after, I don't know what you were doing.
It was when I was in the Air Force.
After your fantasy football draft.
It was when we were in the Air Force. We went to the mall for some reason. It was before Amazon was like real big. So you had to like still go to the mall to buy shoes.
Yes.
We bought shoes and then there was a bar at the mall.
Before Zappados.
Yeah. And then so we drank at a TGI Fridays type place.
Okay.
And then we're like, we're going to eat. And we're like, we don't want to eat here. And someone's like, Olive Garden. I'd never eaten there before. So I was like, yeah, cool.
This is the lamest bar hopping in history too. We're going to TGI Fridays and Olive Garden. Dude, we're going to shut that down with a P.F. Chang spot. Boom. All the cool bars. We're hitting them.
All
up.
The trendy
teenies. Ones.
Apple teenies. Cran teenies.
Teeny teenies.
Tiny teenies. Szechuan teenies. We're just teeny holics. Teeny maniacs.
Tina's teenies. Yeah. That's actually an extra restaurant. That's just Tina.
Just Tina. Just
Tina's
like,
Tina's just making whatever.
Some of these teenies? We're like, yes, we do, ma'am.
Why do you call them teenies?
Yes.
You don't want to
know. Yes, we do, ma'am.
Tina's teenies. You don't ask any questions.
Yeah.
So you were shutting down an Olive Garden.
I went to, and I just remember like, I remembered it looking nicer than I'm sure it did. Like, I remember, like, walking in and being, like, legit, right. being like, whoa. Like, this is nice.
This is a lot better than I thought, man.
And, like, it was just unlimited. We had a lot of soup and breadsticks.
Yeah, man.
I do not know what I don't think I even ate my entree. I think I'm pretty sure I just got. Yeah.
Here's the thing. You can make fun of Olive Garden, but, like, if you don't, if you act like those breadsticks aren't unbelievable.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're slathered in butter.
Yeah, how exactly? The only way you can't like those if it's like they'll kill you, you know, like
right.
you're allergic to whatever is in those. Which
right.
is
butter.
Butter.
It's basically butter and starch. I mean, that's basically the ingredients.
Like, listen, they just bring you a tray of butter.
Right.
You're like, listen, we forgot. We ran out of bread, but we thought maybe you just would want to lick the
butter.
Would
you want a straw? A plastic?
Unbelievable. Yeah. Turn that alarm off. We're in here riffing on Olive Garden
just killing
breadsticks,
it.
And you come in here in your short shorts and a real Jezebel doing your neck stretches.
Real Jezebel.
We have this is a sprawling estate. We have many other rooms that you could do that in, and you set your alarm
in the
off.
West. You could have been in the West Wing.
You could have been in the North Foyer,
the ante room.
Yeah, you could have been in the Narthex. And that's in the sanctuary wing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we have a cathedral on site. Our faith is very important to
us. I heard some chanting, so that one must have been the monks. I was like, what is that?
And they're the real ones. They're not like the ones that think they can get married and stuff.
No, they all have the Friar Tuck haircuts.
Absolutely, yeah.
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 Wooden sandals.
So we have this episode with Carrie.
Yeah,
I set that up 5 minutes ago.
Right,
we said a pomaroli, and here we are. This is a really fun episode. So I was up in Los Angeles, and we recorded a couple episodes of our podcast, and I also was a guest on another podcast called Good Christian Fun.
Yeah,
I went over to Carrie's house, and her kids were in school, and we sat down in her kitchen, and we had a little chat.
A little chitted and chatted.
Carrie and I have done a few gigs together over the years.
Okay.
She is a very funny comedian. We recently reconnected because we were doing a fundraising gig out in El Centro, which puts the fun in fundraiser.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, Gateway to Yuma, El Centro. You know when you're not even like a good enough... El Centro is like... You're like, oh gosh, it's... when you're driving from San Diego to Phoenix, you're like, it's too soon to stop. We were on that show and we were connected. And I was like, oh, Carrie, it'd be so fun to have on here. Carrie and I, we talk a lot. We talk a lot about comedy.
Okay.
Talk a lot about parenting.
Okay. It's on brand.
Yeah, Carrie.
Good job.
Carrie is recently divorced, and we talk about the divorce. We talk about co-parenting.
Okay.
And I think it's her husband, who is also a comedian, her ex-husband, who is also a comedian. You know, they have a very strong co-parenting relationship.
That's good.
And it's a really kind of fun, unique circumstances to talk about and just to talk comedy and life in general with Carrie, who is a treat. So enjoy this episode with Carrie. If you would like to follow her on social media, she has the same Twitter and Instagram. Instagram.
Yeah.
Instagram is Instagram for ants. It's a different one.
Your mom's sister.
For ants. Yeah. Instagram? What's on Instagram?
Just pictures of nephews.
It's so many minion memes. Minion memes? It's all the minion memes.
Yeah.
And GIFs.
GIF.
That's what they say, but I'm not going to go back
the
at this
person
point.
Who invented them
I understand.
Says
everybody says that. Gosh, you have nothing unique to say. That's like the thing that everybody says on that. Anyways, why don't you just go get hammered in an Olive Garden again,
you know what?
All right?
What
and
time
get
are they
out
close?
Of saying GIF. GIF.
What time are they close?
I'm sure the El Centro one's open late. I bet it's open till 1 a.m.
Hey, when you're here, you're drunk.
Your family, you're drunk, and my word, those are synonyms.
Very, same.
Give her a follow online at Carrie Pom, KERRIPOM. That's on social media. That is on Instagram and Twitter, and maybe Instagram. I'm not sure.
Yeah, most likely.
I want to let Backseaters know about some upcoming headlining dates that I have.
Okay.
On October 17th, I will be in Tampa. October 18th, I'll be in Atlanta. October 19th, I will be in Dallas. And howdy. October 20th, I will be in Houston. That's a little 1 weekend tour called the Almost Old Tour. Come check out those dates. Also, if you are here in San Diego,
I am.
On December 14th.
Okay.
Put that. Tickets are not on sale yet. I bet that they might even be on sale by the time this releases on Tuesday. I mean, I don't think they're supposed to be out till Wednesday, but Stephen's late on the podcast a lot.
Yeah.
So it could be. They could be on sale then. Yeah.
Might come out in December.
This could come out on the day of. if you don't have plans tonight, December 14th.
Yeah. I do, though. Sorry, so I won't be there.
Stephen doesn't know that he is going to be asked to be on that show, actually, but don't.
Oh, my God.
Probably hosting because I don't think he has 20. but I don't know if he has 20 clean to be on my show.
Oh, no. 20 clean? No.
To quote last week's episode, he's a dirty boy.
This is the only time that I don't swear for 30 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
That's when I record this. Every
just
other time.
Filthy mouth. That's at a new venue in San Diego called The Grandstand.
Oh, yeah.
And we are really excited about it. So, also on February 9th, these are two new dates we want to let you guys know about. On February 9th, mm-hmm. I will be in Spokane, Washington at Spokane Comedy Club. That is a Sunday. And then on March 28th and 29th, I will be in Tacoma, Washington at Tacoma Comedy Club. I'll be headlining a show on the 28th. That is a 13 and older show, actually. So if you want to bring some kiddos out to that one, you can.
Okay.
And then
strange cutoff.
Pretty much I set it at an age that my son couldn't go to the show.
Nice. Okay.
And then one of those regular shows on the 29th. So, yeah, check those guys out.
Yeah. And when are you doing Puyallup?
This Wednesday. I'm doing the Puyallup. Yeah, you know, I can do it at a trot. I can do it at a gallop.
I'm not going to lie to you. That has been inside of my head.
Yeah, dude, right, so that your
constantly
heart won't palpitate. Just don't be late. Do the Puyallup. Enjoy. Yeah, come out to some shows, guys. You can get tickets to all those at DustinNickerson.com.
If you thought about doing a .org, make yourself look a little more official.
You know what?
Or .edu.
I was actually thinking that my comedy is so heady. It is educational.
Yeah.
I think that people learn a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I should switch to .edu.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. totally different content on my dark website, though.
Right.
On the dark web stuff, it's...
Yeah.
Oh, boy. We have a voicemail that I want to listen to. We have a voicemail because we are talking... We're continuing on. We love your voicemails and your emails so much. We're continuing on in one today with our little series that we like to call Parenting Advice That Probably Won't Work.
Right.
So far, we covered last week from Emily about how to get your toddler to stop using the F word.
Right.
And our advice was to use it more.
Right.
And cuss out your child.
Shoot the moon.
So let's check it out.
Hey, Dustin and Steven. It is Cassandra from Redlands again.
Oh,
and I need some
Cassandra.
Parenting advice.
What's up, girl? Okay.
Okay, here we go.
I can't even say this with a straight face. So my middle child is like 7 or 8, and she has an irrational fear of amputees and little people. So.
Oh, no.
Anywhere we're at, she can spot them from a mile away, and it sends her into a full-blown panic attack in public, crying, hyperventilating, the whole deal. So I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what to do about it. Do you guys have any advice? Because I've tried every route of, like, trying to teach her that they're just like us. Some people lose limbs. Some people have accidents. It is what it is. They're people who, just like us. They like pizza, too. They have friends, too. Okay. They have mommies and daddies. I don't know what else to do about it. So hopefully you guys have some good advice.
Okay. My first instinct is move.
It's move?
Because you're at a place. How many amputees do you see? Are you living in a place where there's like buried like landmines everywhere? Like, I feel like I go months at a time before I see somebody who has an amputated limb.
Are you in a pirate community?
Do you live in Mogadishu?
Apparently Redlands.
That's
high density.
You know what it is?
Of
logging accidents.
Is it?
all the logging accidents. You know what? And loggers, loggers are American heroes, so I take it back.
This is, okay, so let's acknowledge the fact that this almost like seems like a very non-PC thing, but Cassandra's thoughts here are brilliant.
Yeah.
What she's trying to say here as a parent is exactly right. Like, hey, you know, these folks are just like everybody else. You know, right. The mom, the dad, they love pizza. Pizza right. holds us all together, especially from the Olive Garden.
Yeah.
It brings us all together.
but
it's also like a very normal child thing.
Right.
To identify something that doesn't look like them or in their minds is different and I haven't seen before or seems like. If it seems weird
other.
In their mind,
other.
It seems other in their mind. So everything that you're doing is right, but it's clearly not getting the results.
Right.
So what are we gonna do instead?
All right. I think it's you do an immersion therapy. You take her somewhere and lock. You invite all.
You just take her
the loggers.
Into
you know,
a commune of amputees and little people.
And then just lock her in that room, and you do not let her out.
No, but you make it fun. We're playing.
You put
we're playing
squirt guns
Uno.
In there.
We're you playing. You know. Yeah.
Uno. That's
exactly.
Funny.
Yeah. Uno. So you don't have to say Uno at the end. You just raise your one arm. You're playing games. You're making it fun. What's the thing that everybody loves to do? You're watching Fraggle Rock.
Yeah.
Everybody loves. You're listening to David Bowie's greatest hits.
At the same time. Yeah. You're trying to sync them up.
Yeah, exactly.
You're trying to find where you can, you know, like how you sync them up. Like,
it's a Bruno Mars Appreciation Club.
Yeah.
Everybody loves that.
No one hates Bruno
Mars.
No,
exactly. I think you're right. I think it's immersion therapy.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end, to feel normal, she might want to cut off her own arm so that she can help other people acclimate.
I like where you're going with this. And I think this is, you know, you're going to do the .edu. I say we go all the way around. You do .org and you become a charity, and that's your charity. Cutting off kids' arms.
Let's remind everybody here that this segment is called Parenting Advice That Probably Won't Work. Cassandra, you are thinking the right way.
Right.
You are a much better parent.
Yeah.
I think it's fun to have a little giggle about this child's fear. And it is irrational.
Right.
And you're doing the right thing to help. But absolutely.
Yeah.
Full-on immersion therapy.
Right. I mean, in fairness, I should not be given. I've been a parent for exactly 38 days.
Right.
It's a good trim to bit.
Have fun editing this one.
Yeah, that'll get trimmed a bit.
Thank you, Cassandra, for the call, and you're welcome for that terrible, terrible advice. I was just up in NorCal. I was there this weekend in San Francisco, and
heard of it.
I was opening for John Crist at Cobb's Comedy Club. We had a good time. John is like
great
your
salads.
Kind of classic like homeschooler from the South who like didn't know anything about San Francisco.
Okay.
Like I was talking to him about like, hey, let's you know, because we were staying downtown. Actually, we were by the wharf, and like we were. It was I texted him. I was like, hey, what do you plan on doing this weekend? And he's like, oh man, there's this I think it was Jesus Culture Conference in Sacramento. I think I'm gonna do that on Saturday. Do you want to come? And I go, everything that you just said is wrong. All of that.
Right.
Christian conference. In Sacramento. You're going to leave San Francisco to go to a conference in Sacramento.
I don't think people even... And the thing about Sacramento, too, that people don't appreciate is how hot it is, too.
Especially
in September.
Yeah. Unbearable. Yeah. And literally, the Bears leave.
All right. I quit. Oh man,
the Bears can't stand it. They get out of there. But we had a good time, and it was fun. It was fun to because we got there, and he's like, "Oh my gosh, this is like a city." I was like, "This is like one of the great American cities." It's
San Francisco. Yeah.
I can't decide who's more aggressive, though, the homeless people or the seagulls. Same amount of zeal and aggressiveness. Before we go, please continue to leave us some voicemails. If you want to leave us a voicemail, we want more questions from you guys on parenting advice that probably won't work. And the number for that is 619-292-8787.
Do you know?
We love your voicemails so much. It's like our favorite part of. There's so many of them. We've been collecting them in a munchie mug. It is so. You didn't even see.
Right. No, I was. I was about.
You
I was teeing one up.
Yay.
I was teeing one up.
I just dabbed everybody.
Oh my gosh.
Munchie mug.
Munchie mug.
Best spill proof cup on the market.
Yeah. On the market, off the market.
Because here's the thing. On the black market.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's made out of panda.
You guys, Munchie Mug is a wonderful product and a proud sponsor of Don't Make Me Come Back There.
Yeah.
It's going to make your life less messy. Your kids are going to love it. You're going to love it. It's great for holding all those snacks, those things that make your house, your minivan, your Lexus SUV, if you're rolling, whatever it may be, it's going to be less dirty. It's going to save you some money because you're not going to have to get the vacuum job going, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So if you want to go check out, you're going to go to munchiemug.com. They have tons of different colors, different options. Mm-hmm. And you're going to type in promo code Don't Make Me, which is going to give you 25% off of your order. And you're going to get free shipping on that.
Boom.
I snuck that in on you and I still did it for you. You know why? I'm a little better at it.
No, because I was teeing one up. That was going to be, you know what? I'm just going to save it for
next week.
You're
going to save it for another one.
Save it for next week.
It is funny how our minds went to it at the same time.
Yeah.
So leave us voicemails at that number. Send us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, your 5-star reviews.
Yes.
So good.
Give us, try to do a 6.
See if you can get a 6 on there. Let me read 2 of these for you guys. That's funny. Actually, I'm going to read 3 of them because here's one right here. This is from Pickle Breadstick, 1, 2, 3.
Also from Olive Garden.
Yeah. I first found this podcast from another great podcast I listened to called Potty Break with Tim Hawkins, which is no more. So you got to listen to this one. Sorry. And I haven't been able to stop. He can't stop. I haven't been able to stop. I love the unique style and funny commentary that this podcast offers. 10 out of 5 stars.
Well, look at that.
Thank you, Pickle Breadstick, 1, 2, 3. 2 more. This is by far the best podcast I've ever listened to. This is from Classy Cassie J.
Oh.
Host Dustin and producer Steven Intros, where they try to sneak the ad in and one each other, is one of the best parts.
Yeah.
The conversations, not interviews. This is a...
She's dialed in.
Are both hilarious and interesting with guests from all different backgrounds. It's great to make long road trips go by faster or to tune out your kid. All right. do not recommend listening to when you're trying to do small detail work, as you will laugh and mess up, speaking from experience. What do you think by they mean by small detail
work? I think
work?
She's like one of those people that will draw your name on a grain of rice at the mall. I've met her. Classy Cassie J. I've been to that. She does good work. She does very good work. She'll do the action. She'll do an umlaut. I've never seen anyone do an umlaut. She nailed an umlaut.
She does a great caricature of the Avengers. And you're like, I guess if she can do Iron Man, she can do me.
She'll airbrush Tweety Bird on your t-shirt.
Okay.
It's nice.
And your name.
Yeah. It's nice.
All right. And then this one here is from Worst Addict Forever.
Whoa.
Words Addict Forever. That was very wrong.
That's kind of the worst addict to be addicted to words.
This pod gets funnier the longer you listen to it.
Okay.
The first week I listened to it, I was like, okay, this is a solid 6 out of 10. Like a decent pasta salad at a church picnic. It was no slice of peanut butter pie, but you wouldn't mind having it on your plate. But every week that I listened, I picked up more insight and on the inside jokes and got to know Dustin and his trusty sidekick, the other guy, and their hilarious style and family issues.
All right.
Before long, it became an easy 10, far beyond peanut butter pie stature.
Mm-hmm.
Like watching an episode of Cops, it makes me feel better about my own family.
Okay.
That seems only mildly dysfunctional by comparison. This is my favorite part. Tuesday used to be my favorite day of the week because I play racquetball at the Y. But now it's my favorite day because of this podcast.
See, I was trying to.
Whoever wrote that, please email us. I'm send you all our posters.
I was trying to stay mad at that person because they called me other guy.
Yeah, but that got so good.
Got me back.
I mean, I didn't know. I knew when we started this podcast, I knew we had something.
Yeah.
That we would become better than racquetball at the Y.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thunk it?
You can, a boy can dream.
In the words of what's her name from Wizard of the Oz, but what's the line? But we've come so far. You planned a prom on that theme, and you totally forgot. Yeah, your prom. Yeah, I was there.
It'd be weird if you planned someone else's prom.
I was there.
Prom.
Yeah, we.
This is a freelance prom planner.
I'm not gonna forget that night.
Hello.
There might have been some lip smooching and nothing more. Nothing.
Lip smooching.
Some lip smooching, no tongue. we are off the rails.
Yeah. You figured it out eventually.
Thank you so much, everybody, for being listeners. We love you so much. Enjoy this episode. And tell all your friends about this.
Tell every single friend.
Every single friend, and tell your enemies, and they'll become friends. All right, goodbye.
Pomeroli.
I'm sorry. I always thought it was Pomeroli.
Everyone does.
Pomeroli.
I've heard ravioli.
I've heard so many comics say that wrong over the years.
Yes, you have.
Like nobody in reference to you, not even like they your introduction care. Is like, oh yeah, they Carrie.
Comic. It just sounds more Italian.
Pomeroli.
Like ravioli.
Pomeroli. Okay, I think that works. So, well, thank you for doing this, and thank you for having me in your lovely abode. This is this is my second podcast today. Both with moms, and both in some weird miracle situation where I went to homes in LA, which are already hard to find, and homes in LA where I just got to park right in front of the house.
Magic.
I felt like I was in Wichita. Like this.
I live in like a bubble of utopian Midwest society in the middle of LA. Under the airport, planes.
Near the airport.
But we don't lock our doors and we know all of our neighbors. And the only difference is our homes cost $9.2 million. And that's for 1,200 square feet.
Yeah,
but I feel like I have this like lovely little abode. And as you can see, I've got, you know, my trampoline and my tent and my fake AstroTurf.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the last house I was at had a pool. So
yeah. I mean, like they're legit. But it is, you just can't think about that little mortgage, like, because you'll kill yourself. Yeah. But other than that, I love every minute of it.
Do you think about sometimes how, like, we would live like princes? Like, we would be royalty if we lived in Houston.
And do you know how skinny I would be if I lived in Texas? I would be a supermodel. Yeah. I am now, I am like a chubby friend in LA. Like, I have friends. True story. This is a true story. It's about my friend Claire Lee.
Oh, I have a
daughter. And I was very depressed and I was going through divorce and I said, I can't get out of bed. I don't want to do it today. And instead of being kind, she said, you need to meet me at the gym and we need to like walk it off and you need to like lose 5 pounds so you can feel better about yourself.
That is very LA advice.
If I was from Michigan and my people heard that, they would come over to my house with some potato dish.
Yeah.
And we would watch The Notebook with Ryan Gosling. And then she would tell me I was pretty.
Yeah.
But so in LA, I've literally been asked, are you pregnant? Like 5 times in public. Not kidding.
Oh.
I know your fans can't see me. They're like, is she a little obese? Like at a car wash, some guy's like, when are you due? So.
Oh, no.
I'm not kidding.
It can't be.
And I'm like a size like 4'6". So if I moved to Houston, I would crush it.
I cry in every sense of it.
Or Omaha.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I was in Omaha last week. Yeah.
I think if you look around, like at the airport when you land in certain states, you know you're not in LA.
I feel exotic. My general vibe. Yeah.
Looking at you, like, I don't for sure.
Yeah, like I don't feel like I'm more attractive there. I just feel like I'm more of like, oh.
But do you feel, you know, like, do you feel like because you live in California, there's like a cool factor? And we can't deny it. Like you can't say it's not there. There's just something about people that live in California. They're like a little cool. They're not really, but you just sort of feel that way. Maybe it's because we pay all that money to live here.
Yeah.
And like people go on vacation. Yeah. Down the street from me.
I think people know that Southern California is America's coolest place.
Right.
Like, and that doesn't mean our people are cool.
No, we are. It is cool.
But it is. Yeah, of course it is. It's like all the, you know, like so many of the country's best destinations are right here.
And
beaches and theme parks and hotel, like amazing. It's,
and like the prettiest people, like Amy Schumer had that bit about the waitress in Michigan that's like the prettiest homecoming queen. She's like the most gorgeous. she comes to LA and she's just like the waitress right. in LA. Yeah. But the prettiest people in the world.
Yeah.
Like, I go to my neighborhood pool and it looks like a plastic surgery yeah. showcase. And it's, these are moms. Yeah. Like, the, I'm like, I don't know how a yeah. baby was in that body. Like,
are you,
you
guys
got
having
it.
A convention ring?
Like, no, literally. Like I look around and I'm, but I do like California.
I do too. And I, all of that, what you're talking about, like the cool stuff, I loathe it though. Like, cause I'm, I don't like LA. I've lived in Seattle. I'm from Seattle, but I live in San Diego now.
Oh, I'm going
now.
To Seattle next month.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I, yeah, just referenced you for a gig up there too.
Thank you.
But the, like all the cool stuff, like when I'm here, I'm like, but when I'm on the road, I actually feel insecure about it because sometimes I feel like people who like look down on you for being from California.
Well, don't go to Nashville. They hate us there.
Yeah.
They hate it, like, especially in the Christian world, like yeah. the faith-based world, because that's Christian Las Vegas. And I have done events where there was literally like a hate thing, yeah. like a West Side Story that I didn't yeah. know I was in.
I feel like an outsider in the South.
But I feel like they hate us and they don't know why they hate us. It's just like a thing happening where they like, they think that we hate them first. So they're yeah. going to hate us first. And it's a weird,
yeah.
it's a weird like turf war. And it's a lot of like Caucasian, like, you know, like non-diverse.
Yeah.
So I do like California for raising kids.
Yeah.
Because my kids are, you know, like they're just exposed to every kind of
yeah.
person.
Yeah.
And I do like that.
I everybody's working from stereotypes. That's the issue. Like we've had Aaron Weber on the podcast a couple times and he talked about like he was like my dad, you know, he's from Montgomery, Alabama.
Oh, my mom's from there.
Yeah, and he would just like he said all the time, he's like, I just grew up, he's like, man, California's just fruits and nuts out there.
Oh, yeah. You know, Sodom just, and like, Gomorrah.
Yeah, exactly.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah. And then I'm told on the West Coast, like, just FYI, everybody's racist in the South. Like it's all racism and hillbillies
yeah.
and then you get
and
there
they don't even decorate for Christmas.
Right. And like, you get there and you're like, okay, there's elements of truth yeah, on both right, of these right. stereotypes. I'm not going to disagree.
I mean, I think that's what makes good comedy, too, is like yeah. you play off that. But.
I told Aaron on one of our last conversations, is like, Aaron, I know better. I know that not everybody in the South is racist.
Like of course, most of them?
Of course of it. But can we agree that not that long ago, most people in the South were racist, and maybe there's some remnants
right,
there. And he's like, that's fair. That's fair.
Like,
I mean, we did a show with the Lyric, and they had the right. they had like a you know in memory type like a like of right. of the you know the coloreds only
oh,
entrance,
yeah. oh,
and
yeah.
it wasn't that long ago.
like they still have black white prom in Alabama oh, in some gosh. States. I'm not joking.
Oh man.
So we like our...
Do you like raising kids out here?
I love raising kids out here.
Because you have a couple kiddos.
I have two. They go to... Like people, you know, in my community are really into, you know, I'm very active in my like faith community. And so people are like, how would you raise kids with good morals or like,
right.
you know, whatever. And I'm like, you find your tribe.
Uh-huh.
You find your people. And there's some jacked up people and jacked up places and jacked up societies I wouldn't set foot in outside of California. Maybe they're just not as overt. Like I always joke about people in the South and maybe like bless her. And then they will cut you the minute you walk away. You know, yeah. California people are real. So if I go to a church in California, it's because people want to be at that church. They're
right.
not like forced into going.
Right.
Now,
there's
I
no happen, cultural forcing.
We're
there.
The only white people in my whole church. Mm. And there's 1500 members. And my daughter has told me that we can't go to a church with white people because they're boring. And so that's how I've raised them. But my kids are part Asian and they go to a school where it's like, it looks like the United Nations.
Is it this one across the street?
No. They go to a private.
No.
I would never, ever send them to LAUSD. They go to a Christian school.
All right.
LAUSD is, I think we're like fifth to last in the country of like the worst public schools.
Oh, LA is?
Yeah, I mean, you
that's
get...
That's got to be just based on where you're at in LA,
no,
though.
LAUSD as a whole in the public school
right.
system has terrible schools, and everybody's gone to charter and private.
Oh,
so they
yeah,
stopped
yeah.
putting money into LAUSD.
That's actually happening in San Diego a bit, too.
It's really bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, you get, like, heroin at kindergarten, you know what I mean? Just from the dealers.
Get them early.
I know. Yes, I'm totally open to that. But I like raising them here. I like that they've experienced a lot of stuff that they wouldn't. They're definitely culturally completely different than I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it.
Because where are you from?
Detroit.
Detroit.
Big G.
I was in Detroit last week.
Were you? Really? Yeah. Do you remember what part?
Yeah, we were in Royal Oak. We were doing Comedy Castle there. Yeah, it was bougie. That was the joke that I did because, like I said, like I understand that
it's like Detroit bougie. Let's not get it wrong. Yeah, was it like punk rocky?
No, it was super burby. That's the joke I made. Like I was like, I understand this is 11 mile. Like I've seen 8 mile and it got a lot better in 3 miles. Like 8 mile is like this gritty hard. And if they made like an 11 mile movie, it would be like a Lifetime movie.
Right, you know, like Hallmark.
Eminem grows up. Up and right. gets a minivan right, and starts right. getting mimosas and brunch.
Like Royal Oak used to be the punk rock grunge city.
Oh, interesting.
And then they started getting bars and Starbucks, and then it kind of grew. And so I grew up on 7 Mile.
Oh, okay. I grew up on right 7 Mile.
Oh. No, that's
it's
the
7
joke.
7 Mile very different.
7
too?
Mile is like 50 miles. Oh. It's like saying I'm from Escondido and I grew up in Orange County. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm from like hardcore San Diego, but you're from La Jolla.
Right.
You know? So
yeah.
I grew up in like the La Jolla of 7 Mile, and there is that. But then my father grew up in the real D. Like
okay.
Our city slogan, not joking, is Detroit versus everybody. There's t-shirts, like that's
yeah,
how people.
Yeah, I've seen them, yeah.
And I think Detroit people are the best people on the planet Earth. Like, they're not quitters. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to stay. They will give you the shirt off your back. They will buy you a beer. We will go through a snowstorm to go to a hockey game. Like, Detroit people are tough. Like,
yeah.
So I found that when I moved out here, I ended up hanging out with Midwestern people. I would find them.
Oh, interesting.
There's a sensibility about Midwestern people that I lost completely out here about. Like, there's this weird concept that I would say, well, we're going to go to lunch. Call me when I moved out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happens in the brains of California people, but that means I'll text you like a week later. And then we'll text for like 3 months. We'll talk about going to lunch. And then we'll stop talking completely. And then maybe we'll catch up a year later on Facebook and go, we should totally get together. And then we start texting.
Yeah.
But like in the Midwest, maybe that's like Seattle. It's like, do you want to go to lunch? Yeah, Friday. You want to meet? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
12. And so it's kind of like.
People don't like each other in the Northwest.
Well, yeah. There's no lunches. Like, aloof. But we just kind of like, okay, yeah, you want to meet? Let's go.
Yeah.
And so I like that.
Yeah.
It's almost New York-ish, a little softer.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. The Midwest, actually, Midwest folk are my favorite people.
They're better than the South.
Yeah.
No offense, Southerners.
I think they have the best part of the coasts. Like, they bring in maybe some of the Southern hospitality and common, and like, I don't know. I like,
they really welcome you.
I feel welcome. Really welcome. I feel like they're very rational.
And,
I feel like they're not like steeped in any like too deep of a tradition anywhere. And I also feel like they're not like, because like the West Coast is full of fruits and nuts. And I'm one of them. Like
but
I embrace
like,
it. You know?
I love it that I've lived here for 20 years and people still hear my accent. And they think I have one. I go home and they're like, oh my God, Carrie, you're in California. And it's like, oh my God. I was driving the car. I had a pop. And I'm like, why do they think we have accents? It's like freaking crazy. Right. And I still talk like that, but just not like that.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, like not that exaggerated.
My friend
yeah.
is an impersonator. Shout out Angela Hoover. You should totally have her on your podcast.
Oh, I know Angela. I know her name. Yeah, yeah. I think I've seen some of her stuff.
She's so funny. She was on America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
Thank you. She's a writing partner of mine. But she does a character called Jeannie from Michigan who interviews Kardashians and stuff.
Yeah.
And she does it so well. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's my childhood. Like, she sounds like every teacher.
Yeah.
I don't know that Seattle people really have any kind of an accent. I think California people do.
Yeah, California
sound like surfers.
Do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Southern California
They're
does.
Like, yeah. Like,
yeah,
everything is like, yeah.
There's a lot of bro stuff. Plus, there's like.
There's an into.
Yeah,
like
and there's a
money.
Very unique vernacular, like, you know, bruh, like stuff like that. That's
and
just
even
not,
if you're not a surfer or a valley girl.
Yeah.
It's a hobby. I have this hobby of accents, state to state. I can tell you if you're from Pennsylvania versus New York. But they kind of have that surfer intonation, like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, great.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if you're a professor.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, do your kids have that?
Yeah. Oh, Lucy's funny. She was at McDonald's when she was 4, and there was a little boy from England. She goes, don't worry, Mommy. I speak British. You know? And she can do any accent. She can pick it up really quick.
Yeah. That's great, man. Do they notice, like, the accents of your, like, your parents still around?
Yeah. My mom's real Southern. Yeah, her name's Nana. She's from Alabama.
Does she live out here?
She's in the South.
Okay. Do the kids see her often?
Or? Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
I see my parents more than you would see your parents if they lived on the street.
Really?
I just do. I have a really great job that I can do that, but all the time. I see them like almost every month. I don't know. I Atlanta's easy to get to. I take my kids, they come here. They don't have jobs. They have time.
They have time
to hang out.
That's the dream, that like your parents, or than us when we're grandparents, that we've done okay enough financially that we don't have to work and we have some in the bank that you can go see your grandkids and then leave them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My dad just went through a health scare.
Are your parents still together?
Yeah. 51 years. My dad's 80 and he's an Italian dude. We call him Rocco. And he went through a health scare.
That's a very shocking Italian. Rocco Pomeroli.
You should see him at the Waffle House down in Georgia. Like, did the Sopranos just walk in? He's like, we're in witness protection, ma'am. We need free waffles.
Yeah, gonna say that's not a Southern name. My God. Yeah,
but he thinks he's country. Like, he thinks he's like country. But you know, it's weird getting to this point in my life where my parents are aging. I mean, they're definitely aging, and you start to see the possibility of them not being there. And this past year, going through that with my dad, and he's better now.
Mm-hmm.
Really put it in perspective of like when I'm booking a trip, like try to stay a couple extra days. Like, you just don't know. Yeah. We literally almost lost him. It was that bad, and you know, it's just weird to see your parents. Like, my dad's 80. That's just so weird to me. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem 80, but he's like 80.
Yeah.
And then he's still like, I'm going to the old folks home to like volunteer. And I'm like, you should do that. Yeah. You know, like, he does.
Volunteer is tribute.
Right, exactly. And so it's weird. My mom's
While you're
77.
There, pick up a brochure. Right. Pick up a brochure. Right.
Well, yeah, they're like.
Just put your card on file.
And then I feel old because they want to move to this planned community called Del Webb. It's like senior community.
Yeah.
And she's like, I did comedy there, which is a whole nother podcast. And my mom's like, well, you never know if you can meet somebody. You only have to be 55 to live here.
Oh,
and I was like,
my mom.
And I'm getting to the age of like, you know, 55 is not even sounding that old anymore. It's like, if he has money and like he lives in this planned community, like there's shuffleboard and like water polo.
Yeah. I love cribbage.
Like, I'm thinking like, is it that far away that like my dad retired at 55?
Yeah.
He retired.
Really?
Yeah. That's how they used to do it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I got to get my tour schedule when I'm 55. Like, I'm like, I got kids in college when I'm 55. You know?
I don't really want that as a comedian, though. I like that line that they said about Don Rickles. They said, yeah. Don Rickles died the way every comedian wants to, with dates on the calendar.
I love it. Yeah. Joan Rivers, too.
Yeah. That's what you want. Like, we don't really have a job that, like, you really want to retire.
But like, isn't it great to know that we're not going to age out of our job? Like, I picture myself doing shuffleboard and cruises.
Yeah.
Because there's comedians that are older than us that do that.
And yeah. Like, maybe a Vegas residency.
I will freaking work that, because two of the women that came up before me in my comedy career, like, you know, the Shonda Pearson, the Nita Renfro, they've got some years. And I'm like, they're killing it right now. Yeah. So I'm just like, there's always going to be women. There's always going to be like old people. Yeah. There's always going to be cruises.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We cannot be replaced by AI.
Mm-mm.
So we're like,
We're as far as job security goes.
We don't have a pension, though.
No. You have to make as much money as you can while you can. If people are paying you, you're like, that's why we don't call out sick.
Sometimes you come as like, I look at some of the guys that are, they've been doing it before us and they're still doing it. I'm like, okay, like, we're good. I'm good. Like, they're still cranking it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm seeing a few fallout.
I don't want to hear about people in their 50s quitting and getting day jobs.
That's the
horror story.
Well, when we went through the recession in 2009, I called up Nazareth, comedian, and I'm like freaking out because I've been very blessed to make a living doing comedy. And he's like, Carrie, only the strong survive. So just keep your head down and just work it out, you know. And only the strong survive. And I was like, you know what? He's not kidding. You just gotta keep your head down and like, work while you can. And kind of weather the storms. 2016 was kind of like that for me.
Yeah.
And Bob Smiley, who is my comedian friend. He's like, mm-hmm, "What, you've never had a bad year?" And I was like, "I don't know. I'm stressed out." He's like, "Just suck it up. It'll be fine."
Yeah, you've never had a bad year.
Well, I had a really bad year. Yeah. And I was like, "What's wrong?" And maybe it was the election and people that's were in a bad mood.
Like that's very much like a comic to be like, get over it.
Like, suck up. I have children, which is your podcast, Family. We haven't talked about family. But I'm like, sure, I'm a single mom and I have to support these kids. He's like, "You'll be fine."
Yeah.
But it is only a crazy thought. Yeah. That I've been doing this for 13 years as my day job.
Yeah. What a blessing.
That's what Angela says. She goes, "Carrie, when I get like sad or whatever, she goes, you make a living with your dreams." I'm like, my dreams are really scary. Like, people are mean in my dreams.
The dreams are nightmares sometimes.
My dream people are not.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I have like a list of things that I'll send sometimes to like friends. I'm like, hey, like I text Taylor Tomlinson a lot. We started together. And I'm like, these are things to remind me of when I'm grumpy or sad or ungrateful. Like, hey, this and this and this. Like, and you have to understand too, like the main goal, the very first goal was to be a comedian and to make people laugh. And then the very next goal was to do it full time. And really every goal after that is like a nothing
and
goal.
Taylor makes me laugh. She opened for me a couple times and she's so millennial. Like she's so like, I'll be like, "How are you?" And she'll be like, "Well, I mean, I'm taping the sitcom and it's like about my life and everything." And I'm like, "Oh my God." Like the difference between a Gen X person and I'm like, she's like, "Yeah, and it's at Aspen." And I was like headlining. And I mean, like, I don't know. They're going to do a sitcom about me. And I'm like, can you enjoy the journey? Like, can you just for 2 seconds pretend that this is fun?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She just looks.
But here we are complaining too. But and like, there are so many people that say that about us.
And
right?
I was like, talking to my writing partner today and, oh, by the way, her computer is at the Apple store and our script is in it. And I don't think it's backed up. And so I'm like, "Claire, when are we going to enjoy the journey?" Like, because she sold a movie. I think she's about to sell a movie script.
It's great.
And I'm like, "Claire, that's awesome." And this is totally Claire. She's like, "Yeah, well, you know, I can't get excited." And even when we've like sold stuff or whatever, we still haven't even celebrated to the way I go, "Claire, we have to like stop. We're both moms. Mm-hmm. We work at this table." And I'm like, "Do you think we should go out to lunch? Like, do you think we should go out to dinner?" And we're just like working. And we finally went to this red carpet event in Malibu. And it was the first time we had hung out in a long time, not working. I'm like, "Claire, we just sold a movie. When do we celebrate?" And then even on this last one, I'm like, "Do you think we'll celebrate if we go on set? Do you think we'll be happy then?" You know, it's like, when is it good enough?
Yeah. Yeah,
is it good enough?
Well, part of the reason that dissatisfaction, though, is why you're successful.
Yeah.
Because if you were like, if we celebrated everything, we would stop getting things.
Okay, but I kind of celebrate nothing.
Yeah, and that's why you keep getting things.
And that's what Boney
said. Maybe in 2016 you celebrated too much. Maybe that's why you had a bad year.
Or 2015. But like when I toured with Bone and he would get a standing ovation and I would have a really, really good set but not get a standing ovation because he was a headliner.
Right.
I would be really sad. And he and I had that Bella Caroli, Bobby Knight relationship where we would rehash my set like word for word until it was like perfect. But I think that's what made him a good teacher. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of like, well, he was getting standing ovations because he was better than me. But I wanted to get to that level and I wasn't going to stop.
Right.
And I've gotten to do comedy with some people that I used to do. Maybe you've had this experience. You ever open for somebody and they're so good and you're like, "I can never." Like, there's just no way I'm going to touch that. Carlos Oscar.
That's how I feel when I go out with Bargatze. I'm like, well,
right,
I don't even.
Hang
like,
it up.
I watch it. I'm like, I don't need to do comedy.
Right. That's why. But yeah, I was backstage.
Like, if the world has you, they don't need me.
Exactly. Exactly. And then, you know, some time will go by and I end up co-headlining with that person and somebody came up and was like, "I loved you." And I loved him. And it was just this moment of like, oh, this happened.
Yeah.
Okay, I worked my butt off, and it's happening. But I still, you know, you're never, you know, when I worked with you and you went out and killed it and you were killing it with like clean comedy, it was family stuff. And like, he's already covered all the family topics. Like, I already have that. I had a joke about a dog and then he said dog and now I can't perform. I mean, it's like
Dustin burned all the premises.
It's just like, literally, it's like this neurosis that comics go through of like, I can't do it now. I can't do it.
And
like,
and then you go and do it and it goes
but
great.
Yeah, but nobody knows what we go through the 30 minutes before.
Yeah. That I've said that a million times. I said that I love stand-up comedy. I hate the hour before stand-up comedy.
Now, when you tour with other comics, like I know you tour with John or whatever, Do you think that a lot of comics have you felt have the same neuroses about wanting to be good?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I think that you just, you spend time like analyzing the crowd. Or I think the good comics do, you know?
Is John like that? I've never worked with
him. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that he's, I mean, every pre-show he's looking at his computer and he's going over his set list and going over his notes. And, you know, every time I walk off stage and I see Nate and after I bring him up, he goes, "How are they?" And I'm like, "Thanks for watching the set, Nate." But they're great.
But no, it's really funny. I love working with other comics, but it's always funny because if somebody reaches a certain plateau of social media success or comic success, you just have this impression of what they're really like.
Right.
Like, oh, like they're good. They just like kind of breeze out. I've never met a comic that breezes out.
No,
but
no,
I was just curious because I don't know John and he has such a like a ride right now.
Yeah.
And I that could only come from a lot of hard work, but I didn't know what his personality was like.
Yeah, yeah, super humble. He's like every comic you've ever met. Down to earth, loves talking comedy, goes
and
to
a little
show.
Neurotic.
Oh, very neurotic.
We're all neurotic. Yeah,
of course. Yeah. And, you know, all of us bring our unique set of circumstances into comedy. So whether it's personal challenges or family dynamics or where you're from or where you're touring or what's going on, we all just bring that into it. Now, ours are like our challenges are unique. And you even more so as a single parent, you know.
You know, it's interesting because
co-parenting with another comic.
It was sad. Yesterday I was looking on YouTube and I had made all of my videos with my comedian ex-husband, Ron McGee, private on YouTube, and we did this DVD together, and it was called Two Comics Walk Into a Church. And I watched this promo, and we used to joke, like we had this joke, like, oh, after we were married 1 year, we had to call people up and be like, "You said we would make it." And then the punchline, I was like, that was our pastor. And we have joked about us being a dysfunctional couple for all these years. And we were so good on stage, and there's so much good, you know, that came out of that. And to think that we're divorced now is like, it's just super sad. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, we were really good together. I would still tour with him if there was a way to do like an ex-husband tour or something, which maybe there is. But it's just bizarre. Like, never did I think like we were going to be that couple, you know. But now we still have a very everything about us has always been like a sitcom. So even our divorce and our co-parenting is like a sitcom.
Right.
It's like the best worst divorce situation because of the way we've handled it.
Yeah.
And our kids, oh my gosh. So you have comedic kids and then you give them the tragic news that mommy and daddy are getting a divorce. And my 7-year-old looked at us in front of a counselor and said, "Well, what options did you two explore before you jumped to this conclusion and decided to ruin the family?" And then the counselor said, "You don't need me. You are wasting your money. This kid has no problem expressing herself."
Yeah, no
kidding.
So
then Ron crashed on my couch the night that we said we were getting a divorce. We had been living separately but not really telling the kids. Mm-hmm. Lucy wakes up for breakfast. She goes, "Well, I thought it over. This is probably the only way I'm going to get a little brother is mommy gets remarried." So like she dealt with it and has continued to deal with it. And so last night, the 8-year-old who's lived a divorced lifestyle since she's been 4, she's like, "So you're married to mom?" And then he goes, "Yeah, I'm not." She goes, "I saw you. You're married to mom. I saw in my picture book. You married her." And he's like, "Yeah." And she goes, "Why aren't you married anymore?" And like they're in the kitchen and I'm on my, and he's like, "Carrie, do you want to come here?" And he's like, she's like, "How dare you?" She's like, "I saw you kiss her." Like, and so it's this weird revelation that she's having as an 8-year-old now to go, okay, daddy's here 7 days a week. Daddy kind of sometimes lives on our couch or the guest room or whatever. But then he tells her that we're not married and she's like upset. She's like, "But you're doing everything like you're married."
It seems like you're married.
It
yeah.
It very, very well does. And for the most part, if you are lucky enough to be able to make that work, I think it's okay. Because sometimes I go, "Dude, is this jacked up? Like, am I messing up my kids?" And then my friends are like, "What, having mommy and daddy in the same house that care about each other?
Right.
And, like, do life together. Yeah. And I travel and he stays here."
He stays here when you're gone.
Yeah, and
okay.
They never go anywhere else.
So that every night they're in this house.
Yeah, they don't even really understand that he has, I mean, and I've had a lot of challenges with my health or whatever. And, like, he is my family still.
Mm-hmm.
He is my family. And so I know your listeners are like, then why'd you get divorced? That's a whole nother podcast. But if you happen to get a divorce and you can make that work, as weird as it looks like, you got to go, I don't care what it looks like. This is what working today,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it may be like that sitcom where if I ever were to date somebody, I'd be like, well, don't mind Ron. He's on the couch. He's cuddly. Like, right. I don't know. You know, that sitcom Reba where her husband leaves her for another woman, mm-hmm. Reba McEntire. And then the other woman like thinks Reba's the greatest thing ever. And they want to be, she's always trying to be her best friend. I'm like, I could sort of see that happening.
Sure. Yeah. But, like a guy comes in and he's like, this Ron guy's like, great.
Ron's awesome.
We're going to join fantasy football
yeah,
league.
Yeah. I could totally see that happening. Or there's not going to be another guy. Because there's no other option. He's around.
Mm-hmm.
He's not threatening.
No.
He's very non-threatening.
But you would prefer it.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Unless we get to a point where our kids are older. And then that's not, it's going to be a weird transition someday to be an empty nester. And sometimes I wonder if Ron and I will live out our golden years together being not married. Like, I just wonder, like, we have a better not marriage yeah. than we had marriage.
Just
like for real.
Really?
Like 100 bazillion times we are better not married.
Mm-hmm.
It's no secret. Ron's very open about it. He struggled with bipolar disorder mm-hmm. when we were married and still does a little bit. And that's a tough one to tackle. And so in some cases, being a divorce is a necessity for someone to get their health together, to be safe, to be all those things.
Right.
But then you take that term husband out of their vocabulary and that pressure, all that. Because when somebody struggles with bipolar disorder, like just going to the post office can be a struggle. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to learn all this about mental illness. So he doesn't have to do that. So we don't have a lot to fight about. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's not an
yeah.
expectation. And it's like, he's a great dad. Mm. So now he's a great dad and I'm a great mom. And so we just come together on those. Of course we have our struggles.
It's of course.
But I'm like, I feel really lucky in a lot of ways that it could have been a horror story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that mm-hmm. was my nightmare.
Yeah.
My kids are going to be jacked up, divorced kids, custody battles.
Yeah.
Ron was like, I'm going to make a public service announcement to the comedy community that it was not your fault. I'm like, we're not Brad and Angelina. Like, no one cares. Like, I know in like the Christian comedy world, we are like Brad Pitt and
yeah.
Jennifer Aniston, but no.
Nobody really. Cares.
And I was scared people were
going to. I mean, I'm sure plenty of people have gossiped behind your back.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure of that.
And then they get over it because 30 days go by and then somebody yeah. else. And then it's like a bunch of my friends got divorced, like comics got divorced. And we were sort of like talking about it. And, you know, Bob and I decided to make a tour out yeah, of it, you yeah. know, and then he's an idiot and he went and got married again. And
Bob, you ruined everything.
He kind of did. and, you know, like there's like 5 comics in my circle that are divorced. And then we laugh about it because a lot of our friends complain about their marriages. And a lot of my friends in real life, we know marriage is very, very hard. And some of my friends are going through serious circumstances. And I hang up the phone and I just laugh. And I'm like, listen, if I never have to go to counseling, like, I'm good. Yeah. Like, I just get my Netflix, bro. I got my Netflix by myself. You know, like, I got a king size bed. I got 2 closets. I'm good. I sat on stage at the club the other night. It sounded so bad. I went, you know, I don't need a man. I have Netflix and a heating pad. And it sounded like, just let your mind sit on that
one.
Something
to entertain me and something to hug. Me,
right,
keep me
just
warm.
Keep me warm. And a clicker.
Yeah. I think that it's like the continued, what you're communicating to the kids in that, though, in is like, sure, there were struggles and that there was an incompatibility, but you're still showing a prioritization of them. Like, you two are important to us.
But I think that I need him in my life. I really do. I don't take out my own garbage. And we're like the golden girls.
Your ex-husband takes out your garbage?
Yeah, and puts my Christmas tree up.
Yeah.
But I support the kids.
I think
so,
I have some listeners. Like, I have listeners' moms right now. Like, that's an option.
Yeah, well.
You mean I don't have to be married to him, but I'll still get the trash and the Christmas tree?
Well, or you can get child support. I get the tree. Like, yeah. He's not, so you get cash. So, like, when I ask him to, like, smog check my car, or it's like, because when you're married to a comedian who's been in and out of, you know, working, it's not like there's this stable trust fund. He's like, yeah. Like, so I'm like always like, I will call in every favor I can. But you know, he is just, he's a really good support system for me, especially when I've struggled with like health stuff or family stuff. And I think once you marry somebody, like they're family, like once you have kids, like that's, he's almost like my brother. And I don't know what it would look like to try to go down a different path. Like we're having s'mores together and he hasn't left my house for a week, but I've been sick. But then it's like, my kids know, and they know we got divorced and they know we're not married. People at their school haven't figured that out. And it's been like 4 years.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. You know, we were hosting the talent show and they're like, Mr. and Mrs. McGee. And I was like, listen, dude, we're not married. If there's single men out there, they need to know. you know,
you're just up there doing this like, with a, oh, nothing on this, nothing right, on this finger, right, nothing exactly. right just, here.
I'm available. but I thought maybe right when I got divorced, I'd get into a relationship because I would be like, insert groom here. Because that would be easy. And then I woke up and it's almost been 5 years and I'm really compatible with Netflix and my children. And but I do have a lot of husband stuff from him. I mean, he does help cook and
it's great.
Buy my groceries when I'm not feeling well.
And, right.
But, you know, there's drawbacks.
Yeah, but it's still, I don't know. I mean, as an outsider, I'm just like, oh, that's like... Divorces happen, and I understand that people have knee-jerk responses to that, especially within the church. And those things aside, whatever they are, like, I go, oh, those are two people still loving and caring for each other and loving and caring for their children for the sake of one another. Like, that's a selflessness in divorce.
And I also have figured out the magic word, bipolar, because all I have to say... is, well, my husband had bipolar. And everybody goes, oh. Like, they just know. There's a crazy uncle somewhere, or somebody jumped off a roof, or somebody was an addict. And that's all true.
Yeah.
You don't get divorced because, like, oh, we don't love each other. Like, it was blood, sweat, and tears for 12 years. And then you're like, and I was like, I don't want to explain this. I don't want to have to go into detail. I don't want to sell him down the river.
Yeah.
And if I just say bipolar, like, everybody's like, oh, we're good. Okay, we're got good. You. Woo! Yeah. You made it. You know,
you made it 12 years. Yeah,
yeah, literally. Yeah. And it's been okay.
Well, we've reached time.
Oh, unless you have one.
No. I could talk to you for hours. But well,
can I come back?
Absolutely.
And then we'll talk about something else.
Anytime.
Me and Ron would be fun on your
I want to have the two of you on there.
He's
on here.
Delightful.
Yeah, I know. I've hung out with him.
Yeah. Okay, so let's do it.
Now you're officially leading on who I've spent more time with, because I hung out with him once and you once, and now we're under this.
And I'm leading on the referring of gigs, which is good.
That's true.
Because I need to pay this mortgage.
You gave me a very random gig years ago.
Did I really?
The Southern California Mothers of Twins Convention.
Yes, in Redondo Beach. Yeah, yeah. And then you performed with me at my old church in Redondo.
No.
At Kings Harbor.
I did not.
Never?
No. I did not.
Did I?
But thanks for inviting me.
Did I try to book you? That's for the first time I ever heard your name.
Yeah.
So we must have tried.
I forgot about that. Mothers of Twins. That's one of the...
that's funny. My high school friend asked me to do that gig.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And
I did it.
It
paid a couple $100. And at that point, I was like, $200.
Right.
It's amazing.
First of all.
I'll say yes to $200 most times.
Yeah,
If there's bookers like, listening to that.
What am I doing right now?
Yeah,
$200.
Yeah, especially because it was at like noon. And I remember it went really well. Yeah, I had a good time doing that.
My friend Evan had twin daughters. I mean, we have done some crazy audiences, I'm sure.
Oh,
we could talk about that.
Yeah. We could have our own podcast together, Carrie.
We could. But I hope that we get to perform together again. And
yeah.
I'm going first.
Yeah.
if you see my act, you will be like, what?
And then I'll be so pensive in the back room.
You'll be
like,
so
you
I'm putting my kids to bed. No. Okay.
No. Okay. Nope. 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 Nope.
That's kind of funny. It's kind of funny when you hear a comic who's like so lifestyle, life phase similar.
Yeah.
You're
watching them go, I'm like, I'll never bring you to open for me. You know, you're just burning everything. Every premise
that
I have.
You burned all the premises.
Yeah. Yes, like I need someone who has never even seen a child before.
Right, that really. Because they've just taken over my whole
exactly.
freaking act. But.
Well, thanks for doing this, Carrie. You're the best. Pomeroli. Got it. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.